You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
And so if you get in your Bibles, please, for Daniel 1, verse 6. And so, before we read the word of God and open in a word of prayer, I want to say that this series is called Excellent. And what we want to do is look at what it means to be excellent in our lives. How many want to be excellent in all that they do, to be excellent in our lives? And we've preached sermons like this kind of before, with that type of title, acceleration and fast forward and these things. But really what I'm going with this is slightly different, in a slightly different direction. Those of you that, you know, if you're alive and you're cognizant of what's going on in the world right now, you'll know that there is a lot of things going down. We have this Ebola virus. How many know about that? Yeah. Killing people, thousands of people in Africa, West Africa, are dying from this disease. But it's spreading. It's spreading. The news says that there was a man in America, in Dallas, I believe it was, in Texas. He died of this disease. I know there was a nurse in Spain. I'm not sure whether she's passed away, but I know her. They said it was critical. And so this thing is spreading, man. And so we're living in a time where the world is in the tough times. Diseases going on. And not only that, we have wars going all over the place. Wars, you know, Russia and Ukraine and all of these things. We have this Islamic State running through the Middle East, Syria, and obviously taking hostages and murdering innocent people, just randomly murdering innocent people. There's no justification for this at all. And so when we look even right now, we could go on and the politics, and they said that the Europe is going into another recession, and that's going to affect us, and Germany's productivity is down, and Germany is the engine of, listen, the world as we see it is going through tough times. But I want to let you know that even though the world can be going through tough times, God's people can still be accelerating. God's people can still be accelerating. And this is what the book of Daniel is. If you've read the book of Daniel, or you're a student of scripture, you will know that the book of Daniel is showing that how God's people can be in tough times, but still excel. See, let me, we're going to be, this whole series is going through the book of Daniel. And what's happened is the children of Israel with disobedience to God. How many know when you're naughty, you get spanked? So that's how it goes. And so the children of Israel, they kept rebelling and rebelling and rebelling against God. God warned them, and then God said, you know what? I'm going to use Babylon, that nation, to come and take you, and they're going to destroy your nation. And it wasn't that they were defeated, it's that God allowed it. Because God says, all that idolatry, you guys have left me, you've forsaken my ways. And I want to say that this is something that happens. This is one of the things that we see as the world forsakes God. As the world turns from God and leaves out God. As a nation forsakes God. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. And when we start to change laws and do things, listen, God will forsake us. It will allow us to go through this purging. The children of Israel, they've been defeated by the Babylonians. King Nebuchadnezzar goes into Israel and he takes all of the best and the brightest out of Israel and he takes them to Babylon. He leaves the poor people, he leaves the people that don't have much, and he takes the riches, he takes the best and the brightest. He causes a brain drain in Israel. I want to say that the world See, there's God's kingdom, the world's kingdom. We just done the whole series on the kingdom of God. But I want to let you know is the devil still wants to take the best, God's best. Yes. He wants to strip God's best out of your life. He wants to take the best of your talent. How many people have seen people that have you heard about that they're in the world now singing Wiggle It, Shake It. Gone to number one. But where did they start? In the church. See, they started in the church, but now the devil has robbed them and they're out there half naked, Wiggle It, Shake It, and going to number one and getting mobos and nobos and whatever, hobos and Grammys, granny, whatever they're getting, MTV awards. But they started in the church. See, because the devil wants to take the best. He wants your best time. And some of you give your best time to the things that which are not of God. He takes the best. Your finances, your money, takes the best. The devil is still doing this, but I want to say this, is that we can excel. And what you see in the book of Daniel is, even though Daniel is in a tough situation, tough times, difficult outside of his homeland, he still excels because he's excellent. And this is what we're going to look at over these next few weeks. How do we excel in tough times? Let's not ask for things to get easier. Let's ask that God would make us stronger. Daniel 1 verse 6, it says, "Now from among these, the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names." Now the chief of the eunuchs is a Babylonian lord or prince. And he says, he gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would come down on this service. We give you this time. We give you our hearts, our spirit, Lord God, our life. Father, I pray most of all that Jesus would be magnified. And all God's people said,
amen.
And all the real Christians said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, we're preaching, excelling in difficult times. The first thing that I want to mention here is when people are redefined. You're defining things in life. When you're redefined, your identity is in your environment. See, this sermon is called protecting your identity. Protect your identity. Look at someone and say, protect your identity. Look back and say, protect your own. Amen. Are you telling me? See, what we're going to see here is a redefining of who you are by your environment. Meaning when you go through tough times, it starts to identify who you are. When you go through tough times, you're being redefined, you're being shaped by tough times. What we see in this text here is the children of Israel are outside of Egypt, they're in Babylon, and they've been given new names. Given new names. Now, most of you here today, if I was to say to you, how many of you have heard of Daniel? And you've heard of the three Hebrew boys. How many have heard of those? And how many of you could say that you could guess one of their names before we said this? You'd guess one of their names. What do people always say when they mention their names? Yeah, exactly. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I want you to know, when we read the scripture, what does it tell us? That is not their names. That is what Babylon gave them. That is what their circle. Listen, they're trying to be defined. That wasn't the names that they originally had. Now they're in Babylon, their names are being changed. And the reason I don't know why we've encapsulated those names in the church. But that is really not their names. And I want to say that circumstances, when you go through tough times, your tough times wants to give you a new name. Your tough times wants to give you a new identity. In tough times, people become something else. See, when things are going good, they're praise God, hallelujah. You can't stop them. They're like, praise God, praise God, praise God, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. They go, oh, because they got blessed. But put them in a tough situation. Put them in a tough time. Let them go for a trial. And it renames them. It redefines them. They're a different person. They become someone else. See, think about this now. They was in Israel. Then they were taken out of Israel. Now they're in Babylon. Why change their names? Why did the Babylonians take the best people out of Israel? Because first of all, they want to build their own nation. So they take the best out of them. It's a brain drain. They want to get the best. They bring them into Babylon and then they're like, okay, we're going to change your name. Why do they want to change? Why can't you just call them what they are? Because they want to assimilate them into their culture. They want to assimilate. The word assimilate means to be taken in or to absorb. What it is many times your tough situation wants to change you and so that you assimilate into the environment. The word means to be taken in or absorbed. There's some people, when you go for a trial, you become absorbed within your trial. It's all about your trial now. It's all about what you're going through. And we understand, if you've ever been in a lot of pain, how many know you forget about everything? If you've ever been in a lot of pain, you ever been hammering with a nail, bang, and you bang your thumb. It's you forget about everything. And sometimes you're going to go through some situations and you become totally absorbed within that trial. That trial becomes everything now. And this is what they're trying to do. Can I say to you, the trials of life are going to try and rename you. Give you new names. Give you a new identity. The reason why they would have done this about these three Hebrew boys, not only to assimilate them, to absorb them. See, let me put this in here. This world will absorb you. It's looking to assimilate you, to make it like it. You dress like it. You think like it. You agree with it. See, there are some things that this culture says is right, but the Bible says is wrong. There are some things, this culture doesn't see anything. The culture doesn't see anything with sleeping around. Nothing wrong with that. Sleep around, sleep around, sleep around. The Bible says it's wrong. Amen. The reason why you think it's okay, because you've been assimilated into the culture. And as culture changes, you change. But God never changes. Amen. And that's why with God it's truth. Yes. See, truth is not relative. Truth is truth. Yes. But not only did they want to assimilate them, let me tell you what they wanted to do. They wanted to make them forget where they were from. See, once they change your name, you forget where you're from. See, a trial wants to make you forget. Forget where you're from. See, they want to rename them because those are their birth names that they changed. To remember where they were born, the country that they're from. Listen, sometimes the trials that you're going through want to make you forget that you was born again. You go for a trial and you forget you was born again. Forget that you was born of above. You wasn't born out of the will of man or for gold or silver or religiosity. You was born because the Spirit of God revealed Christ to you and you called out to Christ and a miracle transpired and you became born again. And when you go for a trial, that trial wants you to forget that. That now you're just Joe Blow. You're just like the rest of the whole of humanity, going through life struggling, pay your bills, struggling to do this. Wants you to forget it. Some people, they forget that they were born again. Not only to forget where they're from, forget their culture, their customs. Yeah. Certain things that, you know what? We have a new culture. When you get saved, there is a new culture. In this church, there is a culture. It's not a black culture or a white culture. It's not a West Indian culture. It's not an African culture. It's not an Asian culture. It's not Anglo-Saxon culture. We don't care where you're from. We don't care the complexion. I'm not going to say we don't care what race. No, we're all one race. We're the human race. But we don't care about color of skin. What we care about is one culture, Christ culture. That's our church. We have Christ culture. You could go to this church and that church and it appeals to you, whatever your ethnicity is. We don't care where you're from. We care more about where you're going. Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? Listen, if you've got Christ culture, you're going to heaven. That's what we're about, because we're all going to be one. The Bible says that God has made us all of one blood. See, many times the trial makes you forget Jesus culture. Because you're in a trial now, you forget Jesus culture, you forget the customs. You got to remember with Israel, their culture, their customs are connected to God. See, the food that they would eat, the days that they would rest, the things that they would do was all to do with God. See, trials, and now the devil attacks And how the enemy works, he wants you to forget God. And this is why they named these young men. They changed their names because they wanted to kill their faith in God. See, people lose faith in troubled times. I've seen men lose faith, go through a trial and lose faith. Go through a trial, don't have a job for a while, lose faith. People go through a trial in their marriage, lose faith. People go through a trial in their health, lose faith. Before their health was attacked, they had all the faith in the world, but put them in a trial, now they lose faith. This is how the enemy wants to work. I want to say to you today, God wants you to excel even in tough times. This is what he desires. See, these trials are to rename you, to detach you, to disconnect you from the things of God. Remember Job. Job 1 verse 11. Remember Job. That God, I love this man. So God is in, I don't understand it all, but listen, this is what the Bible tells us. God is in the heavenly realm. The devil comes to God. God's like, hey, you checked out my boy Job. Job's bad. Bad to the bone. This, he said, hey, look at this guy. This guy's a serious. The devil's like, yeah. But he's serious because you're protecting him. Let me touch him. Listen to what he says. This is what the devil said. Wicked devil. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. What the devil is saying is, let me put him through a trial. Let me give him some tough times and he'll be a different man. See, this is how the enemy works. He wants to rename you. He wants to redefine your identity. The Bible says in Daniel 7:25, speaking about the spirit of Antichrist in the last days, he shall speak words against the Most High. That's God. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. That's the devil. He wants to wear you out. About 3 years ago, I bought these deck shoes. I went to America, I bought these like Timberland deck shoes. They were on sale, and I was like, yeah, I love these shoes, man. These shoes are comfortable. And I was wearing them all the time. Wear them all the time. Wore those things out. My wife would be like, come on, going out. I'd be like, yeah, let's put these on. Look at them now. And to me, I was like, there's nothing wrong with them, man. I just wiped them with a bit of water. They're comfortable, man. I wore them when I went to Jamaica. I think we wore them to Dunn's River. I wore them everywhere. I wore them in Ghana. They're outer national shoes. But this year when we went to Tucson, I said to my wife, okay, I'm going to try and buy a new pair. Because I've wear them every day, wear them all the time. I just love them. They're comfortable. And so I'm wearing them there, and I put on a new pair, the exact same shoe again. But a new pair. When I put on a new pair, I look at the old pair, I was like, oh my days. I realized the old pair was all saggy and baggy and scuffed and worn out. When I compared it with the new, I didn't even want to put them new ones, the old ones back on. I said, no, I'll just wear the new ones at the shop. Because I wore them out. The Bible says this is what the devil wants to do with the church. He wants to wear you out. Some of you have come in and you're worn out. Everything is saggy and baggy and scuffed. And I'm not talking about the physical. See, God, this is how he puts you for a trial and you're worn out like those old Timberlands. What's in a name? This week, my wife, she ordered some stuff from eBay. Or Amazon, and like some little cups for some fellowship or something. And so it was like, okay. And so we got that little red card. You know when they've come and you've missed them, and they're lying. They didn't even ring the bell. They just put it through the door. Liar, lazy. I was in. But anyway, we're digressing. And so we got the card and I said, okay, we're going to get it. And so we was waiting for another delivery. So my wife waited for the delivery. And so I go to the thing and I said, but baby, I need your passport. And so when I go, they say, have you got any identification? And so I give them my wife's passport. And the guy said to me, and she used a middle name. See, my wife's middle name is Francis. She has a Nigerian name. Well, that was funny about that. But think about this now. This is what the guy said to me. He said something very, very profound. He says, listen. He said, yeah, okay, it's low. And it's, because it just said F, and then it had for the Francis, and then low. And when he looked at it, he's like, no, there's a Nigerian name there. And he said, but she's put the middle name as her first name. I said, yeah, you know, it's the same name. Come on, same thing. He said, no. Once you change your name, you've changed your identity. He said, once you change your name, you've become a different person. He says, what you're showing me is that this letter was addressed to an F-Lo, and this here is a different name. And he gave it to me, but he made that statement. I want to tell you here, is the reason they wanted to change their name, because they wanted to change their identity. I want to look at their names, because this is more than just a name. This is more than a name. They changed the first name, Hananiah, to Shadrach. Have we got that on here? The name Shadrach, it means something. It means the command of Aku. That's what it means. So they've changed their name from Hananiah to Shadrach. The name Shadrach means the command of Aku. Aku is called the moon god. Aku is the Babylonian moon god. And so they've never just said, oh, what's your name? My name is Hananiah. Okay, we're going to call you a Percy. Yeah, you're a Percy. No, it wasn't just simple. Oh, we can't really pronounce that name. So we just like, yeah, we like, you know, another name. No. Leroy. Yeah, we're going to call you Leroy. No. There's a meaning. They said, no, we're going to call you Shadrach. We're going to call you the command of Aku. Can I say, tough times is going to command you to do some things. See, when you go through tough times, it starts to command you. You're commanded by tough times. When you're going through a trial, you start to think, I have to be like this. There's some of you going through, yeah, but I have to, Pastor. No, put God for, no, I have to. It's, I don't have any choice. You ever heard that? People are going through a tough time, and then they're going to do something which is kind of compromised. But I have no choice. I've got to do this. Yeah, that tough time is changing your name. You're becoming a Shadrach. Command of Aku, the moon god. It's what everybody does. It's to be expected. Why? Because I'm going through this tough time. I'm going through this trial. There's financial difficulties. There's problems on the job, in my marriage. I have to respond like this in my marriage because my spouse has done this. No. You're becoming a Shadrach. You'll be, oh no, but it's what they did. So your circumstance is commanding your response. Oh, this person, no. This person said this about me. That's why I got angry with them. This is why I got into beef with them. No. You're allowing your circumstance. Do you know what? They changed his name, Hananiah. Hananiah, we got it on there? Means God has shown me grace. Think about it now. He goes into Babylon called God has shown me grace. In Babylon, they say, no, the command of the moon god. See, what they're doing is attacking God in their life. This is what the real attack is. See, at the end of Shadrach, you have this ACH. This is connected to Aku. In Hananiah, whenever you see at the end of a name, you see an A-H-I-A-H or see an A-E-L. This is to do with God. This is what God in name, the Daniel. All of their names have God at the end. All of their names are to do with God. It's about God. Hananiah says, no. God has shown me grace. My identity is in the grace of God. When you're going through a trial, you've got to focus on God's grace. If you want to excel, you want to say, no, I am where I am because of God's grace. I'm going to get through this because of God's grace. God's grace. No, I don't have to follow the command of Aku. No, I don't have to compromise. No, I don't have to leave. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do anything but obey God and trust in His grace. Amen. The next name, Mishael, And he changed his name to Meshach. Meshach means who is what a coup is. That's what it means. Who is what a coup is. Let me say this now. Tough times are going to ask you, who is your God? When you go for a tough time, oh, like I said before, everything is going easy. And then when you go for a trial, who is your God? Now, listen, when you go through trials is when all these questions start flowing in your mind. Why is it like this? Why am I going through this? Why has it not changed yet? Why is this happening? Why are they doing this to me? Why aren't I through yet? Why aren't I blessed yet? God, where are you? God, what are you doing? God, all these questions are flooding in your mind because in a trial, that trial is going to want to rename you. There are many people, they go, oh, in the good times, they're a Mishael. But in a trial, they become a Meshach. It's called the moon god. That's what a coup is. Again, you've got this A-C-H at the end. That's for a coup. You know, the moon is quite a big thing when you think about it. And I want to say, when you go for trials, your trials look big. When you're in a trial, it looks big. Ever notice when, you know, you're talking to someone, they're in a trial, and you're giving them counsel, it's easy. Oh, what do you just do? Just trust God. Oh, wow. Like I didn't know that, yeah? Oh, thank you. Wow. I mean, it's just easy. Yeah, just trust God. Yeah, God will come through. Because it's not your trial, you're not in it, it looks small. Yeah. When you're in it, you go, oh, help me, pray for me. Oh, okay. And then you people, hey, just trust God, go to work it out. Oh, you don't understand. And they go on again. Hey, but this is that. And you say, yeah, we understand that, but trust God. No! Because when you're in it seems massive. See, you're being renamed. You're being transformed. You're being assimilated. You know, the thing that stood out to me about this, when you look at the difference in their names, really, it's just, they've moved the E-L at the end and they've made it a C-H. Mishael to Meshach. They've only changed two letters at the end. Can I say small changes can make a big difference? A small change. This is where the enemy starts to call you to make small compromises. Little things. Oh, you know, you was once radical. I would never do that. I would never go there. You put you for a trial. Small changes. You start to backtrack a little. You go for a trial. Now, it's a different thing. At one time, you was into the unity of the church. One little thing, now you're going for a trial. Someone said something about you, stepped on your toe, did something. Now you're withdrawing from the fellowship of the brethren. Now it's, oh, the whole church is against me. There's nearly 200 people in this church. Most of these people don't know you. No. They're against you. The issue is, you're backtracking. Oh, a trial. Now you don't want to be in ministry. I need to take a little time out. I need to just a little step back. Listen, I'm 41. I've got no time to be stepping back. I'm stepping forward. I've got no time to be stepping back. I'm taking ground. See, little compromises. A little change. All they change is the E-L. Come on. I know your name is Michelle. No, just come on. It's just we're taking out the E-L. Let's just put the C-H. That's it. No one knows. It's a big difference. Because what the meaning of Michelle is, who is what God is? Who is what Yahweh is? Who is what the Most High is? See, the moon may look big. But you zoom out to our solar system and the moon is tiny. Did you know that? I know this is science and you didn't come to science today. But if you zoom out and you saw the whole solar system, if you saw the sun and you saw all the planets going around it, the moon is tiny. The thing that you've made a big thing is tiny when you look at God. You zoom out, not even to our solar system. Go back out to our galaxy. You couldn't even see the moon anymore. Yeah, you could call yourself the moon god. And when you even zoom out more, see, the moon god is big until you realize how big the universe is. See, your problems look big until you realize how big God is. Isaiah 57:15. Listen what it says. For thus say the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Think of what he says here. God is saying, I am the high and lofty one. That means I'm high above. You cannot reach me. I'm out there. And then he says, who inhabits eternity. God says, I live in eternity. I inhabit it. I fill it. That means he can just keep going. Keep going, 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 going. All the way back, all the way back, all the way this way, all the way that way, all the way that way, all the way this way. Just keeps going. Think about it. You could go anywhere in the whole universe and God will still be there. You could travel for all light years, billions and trillions and whatever, aliens of light years. And you could go, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. And God will still be there. And you still keep looking and God will say, I'm still further, further, further. See, when you put that God next to the moon God, you realize, listen, moon God. When you put that God next to your problems, when your problem says, who is like me? And then you realize, listen, no, 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 no. Who is what God is?
Yeah, that's right, man.
If you're going to excel, you're going to need that. The last of the Daniel's three friends, Abednego, means servant of Nebo. Not Nemo. Not Abednego. Nebo was the god of wisdom. The Bible tells us in James 3 verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. See, sometimes what certain men call wisdom is a lack of faith and a lack of trust in God. Oh, but it's wise. No, no, I'm going through a few difficulties right now, financial, so I can't really give to God and I can't really help people. That's wise. Oh, you know what? I need to just kind of step back from the intensity of God. I've got to kind of sort myself out. Yes, wisdom. You know what Azariah means? Put it up. We've got it. God is my helper. God is my helper. See, listen, I don't need the wisdom of this world. I don't need the wisdom of this world to excel. God is my helper. God will get me through. God will get me there. God will enable me to make it. That's where my trust is. That's where my faith is. Psalm 62 verse 1 says, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. This is what he says here. He says, truly my soul silently waits. Sometimes you're in a trial and you're going through some tough times. You've got to just wait on God. And as you're waiting for God's bus to come to that bus stop of a trial, you're waiting for God to come through for you, things are going to come your way. Maybe you're single and you're waiting for God to provide the right person for you. Can I say to you, many times the devil is going to bring the wrong person for you. He's going to bring them down that road. They're not saved. They don't come to church. They don't love God. There's nothing there that even resembles anything about God. You probably lent them some sort of Jahazel CD. Oh, they must be a Christian. They kind of liked it. They said, yeah, the bars are tight, man. And so what it is he says, no, no, I wait. I silently wait. That bro comes to, hey, you're looking, yeah, I like you, man. No, no, no. I'm going to wait for the man of God. Go. I'm going to wait for the woman of God. I'm going to wait. He says, I wait. I'm in a financial trial. And someone comes and says, listen, there's a way that we could earn some money. Just put your bank details here. And there'll be some money in your account soon. Yeah, there will be some money in your account, and there'll be police at your door. You're like, no, I'm going to wait for God to bless me. See, this is what Isaiah's name means. God is my helper. I don't need the wisdom of this world, the God of wisdom of this world. It's demonic and sensual. I'm going to wait upon God. The psalmist says, from him comes my salvation. That means the deliverance from that trial. That tough situation you're going through right now. I'm going to wait until God brings me out. God is the one who has to bring me out. I'm not waiting for man's wisdom to get me out. Listen, many times man's wisdom looks like it gets you out, and it only makes you go into a bigger problem. You get into a bigger mess than you did. How many men got out of a little financial difficulty to end up getting into fraud and prison? How many women got out of a little singleness and loneliness and then got into a sexually transmitted disease or got into a single parenthood? See, you got out of a little problem to get into a big problem. Do not lean upon the wisdom of man. Lean upon the wisdom of this world. Say, God is my helper. I will silently wait for God because he is my only deliverer. He is my only deliverer. He will bring me out of this situation. He will bring me through this circumstance. He is my God. Listen, let's close with this. Look, we need to keep our identity. And I want to say the last point of this is keeping your name. Keep your name. And I would like for us as the church to remember these three guys, but not as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To remember these names, because these are their names that reflect God, not the deities of this wicked Babylonian culture. This is how we should know these men. You need to keep your name. I want to say to you today, your name is not what they call you, it's what you respond to. Your name is not what they call you. Your name is not your circumstance. Then your name is what are you responding to. See, you could come up in this place and you could call me Roger. Roger. You could say it, boss. Roger. You could say Raja. I don't have any more accents. You could call me Kudzi. You could call me Ayo. You could call me anything. But listen, if I were here, I'm busy. I'm doing my own thing. Roger! Keep doing my own thing. Kudzi! Ayo! Why do people keep calling people's names? Courtney! I respond to my name. See, it's not what you call me, it's what I respond to. See, the situation might be calling you one thing, but you've got to stop responding. You've got to stop responding. Someone that I know very well, they told me that they wanted to change their name. And so they wanted to be called Tony. There's nothing wrong with that name. It's my dad's name. And so they wanted to be called Tony, so they went around telling everyone they were Tony. Yeah, my name's Tony. You go to school, yeah, my name's Tony. Yeah, what's up? What's your name? Yeah, Tony. Call me Tony. Tony. And so he said he'd be in the class and people would be trying to get his attention. They'd be like, yo, Tony. He's forgotten. Tony. And then they would say his real name. Yeah? Ah. It just didn't work. It didn't work. Because it's what you respond to. See, are you responding to that circumstance? Are you responding to your tough times? Your tough times are calling you. Your tough times are naming you. Your tough times are trying to define you. You're going to say, I'm not responding. I don't respond to that. That's not my name. See, with God, you can make it. How do I know we can make it? Just by this book of the Bible. I love the Bible. The Bible says that Daniel's name was changed to Belteshazzar. That's what his name was. Kind of like the king in Babylon, but Belteshazzar. But how many know, listen, how do we know that God, you can make it? You can retain your name? Because we're not reading the book of Belteshazzar. We read the book of Daniel. And Jesus quotes, he says, as Daniel. Jesus uses his name Daniel. That's the name. If you will make a stand, your name will remain. You can remain who you are. You can accelerate. Doesn't matter what is going on around you, what is falling on you, what pressure you feel beside you. You can make it. You know what Belteshazzar means? It means protect the king. I was reading one commentary. It said probably this was to denote that Daniel was kind of above the other guys because it had Bel. And Bel was like the chief god of the Babylonians. This is like their main god. And so they've almost like given Daniel a privilege. It's like, look, we're gonna call you Belteshazzar. And you know our main god is Bel. And so you've got the top god's name. Listen, I don't need the flattery of the world. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, you're a real good guy. You're a good guy. Come on, give us more. Give us more. Forget about giving your best to the church. Forget about giving your best to God. Forget about giving your best to the kingdom of God. Forget about giving your best to evangelism. Come on, come on. Good boy, good boy, good boy. And how many run headlong and give themselves to the accolade of the world? Too busy to preach. Now, it's all about what the boss says. Too busy to sing and minister in a concert. I'm about trying to get my reputation out there. Listen, you can call me what you want. I'm not flattered by associating me with Baal. You know the name Daniel means God is my judge. God is my judge. God is in control. God is the one who's going to judge me. I must please him first. Listen, every single one of you, God is going to judge you. He's going to judge me. Your boss won't be there. Your mom won't be there. Your dad won't be there. The teacher won't be there. The pastor won't be there. God will be there. At the end of it all, God is going to judge us all. But not only does this speak about the judgment, it speaks about his sovereignty, he's in control. But I like the way that his name means God is my. That means God sees me. Can I say to you today, in any trial that you're going through, God sees you. God has not forgotten you. That's the biggest thing, that when we go for a trial, we feel that God has forgotten us. You think that you're fighting against the wind and the tide by yourself. God has not forgotten you. When they're trying to twist and say, no, your safety is in Belteshazzar. We want to call you Belteshazzar. Start to, oh, I need the safety of the world and the safety of the boss and safety of money and safety of what these people say and these people think. No, God is my judge. Safety is found in faithfulness to God. The safest place in life is in the will of God, being faithful to God. Don't forsake your faithfulness. Listen, God has not forgot you. Do not forget him. Even in Babylon, Daniel could say, listen, I may not be in Israel right now. Listen, I may be in a tough situation right now, but God, you are my judge. Your eye is on me. Your eye is on the sparrow. You know every hair on my head. You have them numbered. You know me. You haven't forgotten me, and I will not forget you. You need to know your name, Christian. You need to know your name. The Bible says in Romans 8 verse 27, we know it says that we are more than conquerors. See, that's your name. You're more than a conqueror. That's your name. You're more than a conqueror. When we call more than a conqueror, that's me. When we say, hey, failure, flop, get a you, baby mother. Oh, yes. No. What you are is more than a conqueror. That's what you are. More than a conqueror. Oh, you're poor. You're white. You're black. You're gay. Listen, the devil wants to identify people. Listen, no, 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 no. You're an alcoholic. You're a drug addict. You'll always be that. No, 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 no. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm saved. I'm washed by the blood of Jesus. I've had a name change. This is who I really am. More than a conqueror. You need to know your name, Christian. Revelations 2 verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. That word overcome, you are an overcomer. Look at someone and say, I'm an overcomer. That's what we are. You didn't even say it like you overcame. Look at someone and say, I'm an overcomer, and say it like you mean it. I've overcome some stuff. That word overcomer means conqueror, overcomer, overpower, prevailer, triumph, victory. This is who I am. This is what my name is. Then if you call this, I come running. You need to know your name. I heard another story about a guy, and he had to get, he's in Jamaica. And so, you know, I love Jamaicans. I'm half Jamaican, so don't come to me afterwards. You don't like Jamaicans. No, I'm half Jamaican. And so we went to this guy in Jamaica, and so he had to get some paperwork. And he was calling himself one name. And when he went to the get his papers, he realized that wasn't even his name. He didn't know his name. He didn't know his name. It wasn't like Bob, and then he was calling himself, you know, Francesco. But it was pretty similar. But he didn't really know his real name. There are many in the house of God right now, and you don't really know your real name. You don't really know that you've got the victory. You don't really know you're an overcomer. You don't really know that your name means prevailer, overpowerer. Whatever you're going through right now, you don't need to retreat. You need to back. You need to brace yourself and just get over it, man. You're going to get through it because that's who you are. Listen, last scripture, Revelations 2 verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Listen. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it.
Come on, amen.
Listen to what he says there. I'm closing. This is what he says. He says, he that has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. The Spirit is speaking to the church, even as we're here right now. The Spirit of God is speaking, and he's speaking your name, your new name. He's speaking. Do you hear? Can you hear the Spirit of God? Some of you need to filter out this tough situation you're going through, these problems, things going on in the world, Ebola, the Muslims, the society, the beheading, the economy. Get rid of all of that. Even in your own life, the problems in my finances, my health, my marriage, get rid of all of that and listen to the Spirit. As the Spirit speaks, I hear him calling my name. And I'm going to rise up. And I'm going to excel. Amen. In troubled times. Amen. Let's give Jesus a clap offering of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.